Romans 13, and let's read verses 8 through 10. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." We've looked at the first 7 verses of the chapter and looked at them last week under the title of why we should submit to authority. When people think of Romans chapter 13, that's normally what they think of, the instructions that are given in the first half of the chapter about submitting to authority. And there's a number of reasons in those verses given to us as to why we should submit to authority. And again, in the context, it's speaking specifically of civil authorities, but I think that we could, by application, apply that to anyone who is an authority figure over us, whether it be our husband or I should say your husband, since I probably wouldn't have one, or your parents, or school teachers, or presidents, kings, princes, whatever it might be. I think these things would apply. And let me just kind of run through them again in the way of a summary. Because God said so, that's a good reason in and of itself to submit to authority. And while some people would minimize that and think that it's insufficient, those of us that truly fear God and understand the Bible will realize that that's all the reason we need to give to obey the Scriptures, and that's because they come from God. But we should submit to authority because God said so, because the authorities are ordained of God. And that's what verse number 1 says, "For there is no power but of God," and therefore we should submit to our civil, political authorities. Because resisting them then is resisting God, and you don't want to be found resisting God. And again, we did make a couple of qualifications to these principles. And anytime you're looking at the Bible, you need to look at it as a whole, because many times the Bible itself will limit the interpretation or the application of the text. And the book of Acts does this very thing in regards to this principle. I don't think that you can overgeneralize and say we have to always obey civil authorities. No, because when civil authorities direct us to do something that's in contradiction to the Scriptures, then we're obligated to obey God rather than man. And so just remember, sometimes the Scriptures limit the interpretation of certain texts. And I think I even gave a couple of examples. Matthew 7, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." But again, there are other portions of Scripture that would tell us that to say judgment is condemned as a whole would be an overgeneralization, because that's not true. There are times in which God would require us to pass judgment on an individual and or their teaching. We are to submit to authority because we will be punished if we don't. And I'll probably reference that here in a minute as well again. And then lastly, because of your conscience. Since God commands us to submit to authority, when we don't, we can't really say that we have a clear conscience before God. We can't say we have a conscience, as the Bible says, void of offense, because we have broken one of God's commandments. And so we made an application then to this last week. Have you submitted to God in regards to salvation? Because there's many who haven't. Paul referenced the people of Israel in chapter 10 of this book, and he said that they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And because of that, one day, if they remain in that state, they'll be punished. So we need to submit to God when it comes to the subject of salvation. And the Bible says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And the only way that we can obtain salvation is through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But tonight, the verses that I read have to do with this truth. Love is the fulfilling of the law. This is a rather simple principle, but yet it's something that if we can commit to memory and commit to exercising in our lives, can really change us forever. And I don't know that I'm going to have a whole lot to say about this principle tonight. Just simply look at a couple of other passages that say the very same thing. But I hope to emphasize tonight to each and every one of us what it means to love someone. What does it mean to love someone? Looking again at the context in which the passages I read are found, previously what was being discussed, as I just rehearsed, submitting to authority. Because sometimes the transition from verse 7 to verse number 8 seems kind of awkward. At least it always has to me. Because you go to this subject of submitting to authority, and then verse number 8 says, "Owe no man anything." And most of the time when we see that word "owe," you know, we think about our financial debts. And perhaps that's being said in part because we do owe our tribute to civil authorities. That's what verse number 7 said. "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due." And tribute is really just another word for tax. And you know, and as loud of a proponent as I am of limited government and limited taxes, taxes are not evil. Jesus paid his taxes, instructed Peter to pay his. It says here, "Give honor to whom honor is due." And civil authorities, they're due our submission, they're due our fear, they're due our tribute, and they're due our honor and respect, according to the passages that we've already looked at in this chapter. This is what they're due. This is what we owe them by virtue of their authority. And so if we withhold any of those things from them, then we're debtors. If we withhold our respect and our honor to civil authorities as well as other types of authorities, we've become a debtor because we've not met our obligation in respect to that person. You know, you also know that your pastor is not a big fan of our current administration, our current president, and his staff. I disagree with him greatly politically and in principle and religiously, but I tell you what, there are some people I look, and they're Christians, and they're vocal about the fact that they're Christians, but I look at the types of things that they say about our current president, and it's totally out of line scripturally. It's totally disrespectful to call any president a curse word, you know, whether it be a major curse word or a minor curse word. I mean, it's just wrong in and of itself for a Christian to use a curse word. But to use it in reference to the President of the United States is not godly. To wish him to die, to pray for him to die, I don't think that that's very godly, since the Lord told us to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies. Again, just for what it's worth there, just, you know, disagree with somebody, but man, do it with, you know, according to the scriptures, because civil authorities are due our honor. That's what we owe them. They're due that. They're just like they're due our taxes. We don't want the government to take from us, you know, and to use our money, what's the word I'm looking for? Use it to pad their pockets, or, you know, to use it wastefully. We don't want them to do that. We, you know, as conservatives, most of us don't like the fact that the government takes from people who have to give to those who don't. You know, forcing charity upon them. But I just don't want us to get this idea that taxes are an evil thing. They're not. As conservatives, we just like to see them minimized. Because again, religious rulers are due these things from us. And that's why I think if we understand that, we'll understand how this passage is transitioning from one thought to the next. Oh, no man anything. Now again, this is much more general as you get to verse number 8 than it was in the first 7 verses. It was talking specifically about civil authorities. But now I believe that it encompasses a larger context. Owe no man anything. It's going to use the word neighbor repeatedly. So it's talking about someone more than just our civil authorities. Someone more than who is above us in authority. It's talking about something more general. So owe no man anything but to love one another. Owe no man. And I kind of wrote this down to kind of help me understand the transition that's made here. It goes from owing no man to doing no injury, which may be our parallel thoughts. Owe no man. Give to those whatever is due them. And don't injure, bring harm to any individual. For he that loveth another, notice this, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That has to be one of the most enlightening statements that the Scriptures ever make. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You know, many times somebody's quoted, I don't know who did the counting, but it's said that there are 586 commandments in the Old Testament. I think that's what is often reported. I don't know if that be the case or not. I would think that there would be a lot more than that. And I'm certain that there are probably some things that people wonder, okay, is that a commandment or is that not a commandment? Is that repeating this commandment or is that a new commandment? So maybe there's 586 commandments plus or minus 1,000. Either way, there's a lot. I guess it can't be minus 1,000. But more like plus 1,000. There's a lot of commandments. And say that you are zealous for the things of God, and you know what? You want to do what God requires of you, and so you say, you know what? I'm going to read the Old Testament. I'm going to write down every single commandment. Every time I come across a commandment in the Bible, I'm going to write it down. And I'm going to memorize those commandments so that I, as a child of God, can obey Him. You're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time remembering every one of those commandments. Anybody who's served the Lord for any length of time has probably had some baby Christian come up to them and say, I want you to make a list for me. I want you to make a list of things that I need to do. And anybody that's got any level of maturity about them says, well, you know what, I understand why you want me to do that, but I think you're missing the point. But you could summarize every commandment that's given in the Bible in regards to how we treat another person in this phrase, love thy neighbor as thyself. You don't have to memorize every single commandment in the Bible. You can just remember this: love your neighbor as yourself. But we're going to talk some more about that. Notice it goes on to explain. It says, for this, verse number 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. All of these are found in what we refer to as the Ten Commandments. Or what the Bible calls the Ten Commandments. This is not all of them, but these are the commandments that are given to us in relationship to our conduct towards another human being. And it says, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended or understood in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you will keep every one of these commandments. Because if you love your neighbor If you love your fellow man, you're not going to commit adultery with them or with their spouse. You're not going to do that if you love someone. Again, if you want to understand what love is, if you want to understand how it is that love behaves, just look here at this particular passage. When you love someone, when you love your spouse, you won't commit adultery. If you love the other people that are involved, you won't commit adultery. If a man or a woman is contemplating adultery with someone that's married, you know what? They should stop and think about how it would make them feel if someone committed adultery with their spouse. Thou shalt not kill. You're not going to kill somebody if you love them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to bear false witness. You're not going to lie about them. And you're not going to covet. You're not going to desire what they have. You're going to be happy that they have what they do if you love them. He says in verse 10, love worketh no ill. When you love someone, you in no manner wish to cause them harm. Just the opposite. We always define love as seeking the best interest of someone else, and that is what it is. And it would not be seeking the best interest of someone else if you were to kill them, or steal from them, or covet their possessions. Therefore, it says, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Look back at Matthew chapter 7 with me. There's something similar found here in verse number 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. I guess this is what many call or refer to as the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And then notice this next phrase. For this is the law and the prophets. This is just another way of saying precisely what verse number 9 said. It is briefly comprehended in this saying. What is briefly comprehended? All the commandments. Again, here, if you do what verse number 12 says, you will in essence be keeping the Old Testament law and prophets. And what does it say you need to do in order to keep those commandments? Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. If you'll just treat people the way you want people to treat you, you'll keep every Old Testament commandment. At least those ones that are given in relationship to our conduct towards a fellow human being. Because recall, Jesus did say later on in the book of Matthew, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love your neighbor. And if you'll do that, you'll keep every one of those Old Testament commandments. Here in this verse, Matthew 7:12, it says you'll keep the whole law if you just treat others in the manner you would want them to treat you. In our text in Romans chapter 13, it says love is the fulfilling of the law. So if love is the fulfilling of the law and doing unto others as you would have them do unto you is fulfilling the law, then you know what love is? Doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. And again, this makes things so simple. Do you understand that this makes things simple? Again, you don't have to make a list of rules and laws to follow in relationship to your conduct towards another person. All you have to remember, if you truly want to love them, is to treat them precisely the way that you would want them to treat you. That's the golden rule. Now, the golden rule doesn't save you like liberals espouse. But the golden rule ought to be something that every Christian strives to live out in their daily lives. You know, when it comes to all of our relationships, when it comes to our spouses, a husband needs to remember to treat his wife precisely in the manner that he would want her to treat him. A wife needs to remember to do likewise, to treat her husband just like she wants him to treat her. And if marriages did that, they really wouldn't have any problems. Because you'd have the husband doing everything to meet his wife's needs, and the wife would be doing everything to meet his needs. And you'd have a happy couple. If brothers and sisters did this, we wouldn't have any fights in our homes, would we? If brother was always looking out for sister and sister was always looking out for brother. I mean, so much of the Bible is completely interwoven. Do you understand that how many of the principles are just interwoven? And so if you'll just grasp one of them many times, you'll grasp many others. We won't have to teach children to share if they just understand that they're to do unto others as they would have others do unto them. Because then when they both want the toy, when they both want the Pop-Tart, when they both want whatever it is that they want, the other one's going to say, you know what, I want him, I want her to tell me that I can just have it. And so since I'm supposed to treat other people the way I want them to treat me, I'm going to tell them, you can have it. And then they'd be fighting over, no, you take it, no, you take it, no, you take it. Co-workers. Some of us have co-workers. Some people like Sherry, she works all by herself. How are we to treat our co-workers? In the exact manner we would want them to treat us. Someone calls, can you work for me? I've got a special function I want to attend. And someone says, well, you know what? If I called them and asked them to work for me, I'd want them to really bad say yeah. So I think I'll say yeah to them. If we say, you know what? I would like so-and-so just to kind of take his fair share of the workload occasionally. So maybe I should ensure that I take my fair share of the workload. Maybe so-and-so's having a bad day. And you think to yourself, you know what, if I was having a bad day, I'd want someone to come alongside me and assist me. And so maybe that's what I should do for my coworker. And even towards Christians, how should we behave? How should we behave towards someone overtaken in a fault? The Bible tells us specifically how to behave. You go and you restore such an one. And you consider your own self. You approach them in the exact same manner that you would want them to approach you if you were in their shoes. See how all these things just tied together? And sinners. When it comes to sinners, how should you treat a lost person? Well, if you were lost, how would you want someone to treat you? I mean, now that you're a saved person, wouldn't you hope that someone would come to you with the gospel message and share it with you so that you have the opportunity to be saved? Well, then that's exactly what you should do towards sinners. Again, the principle will change our life if we'll grab a hold of it. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Very simple, but very profound. Love is the fulfilling of the law. You should take that around with you every day of your life. You treat people in the exact manner you want them to treat you. And would the world be a much better place? I think so. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for this principle that is so simple and yet so profound. And God, help us to understand it. Help us to put it into practice. God, may you give those of us that are believers the grace necessary to love others, to treat them in the manner in which we would want them to treat us. And God, even help our young people to incorporate this principle into their lives at an early age, that they would begin to create good habits of loving others and putting them first. So bless the message as it's went forth. Use it for Thy glory and honor. Use it for the benefit of Thy people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.